to consider the incredible news that God became a human being. It's hard to fathom that truth, really. And I found that this story by Paul Harvey may give us a little twist on our thinking. So if we could play that.
Unable to trace its proper parentage, I have designated this as my Christmas story of the man and the birds. You know, the Christmas story, the God born a man in a manger and all that, escapes some moderns, mostly, I think, because they seek complex answers to their questions, and this one's so utterly simple. So for the cynics and the skeptics and the unconvinced, I submit a modern parable. Now, the man to whom I'm going to introduce you was not a Scrooge. He was a kind, decent, mostly good man, generous to his family, upright in his dealings with other men, but he just didn't believe all that incarnation stuff which the churches proclaim at Christmas time. It just didn't make sense, and he was too honest to pretend otherwise. He just couldn't swallow the Jesus story about God coming to earth as a man. I'm truly sorry to distress you, he told his wife, but I'm not going with you to church this Christmas Eve. He said he'd feel like a hypocrite, that he'd much rather just stay at home, but that he would wait up for them. And so he stayed, and they went to the midnight service. Shortly after the family drove away in the car, snow began to fall. He went to the window to watch the flurries getting heavier and heavier, and then went back to his fireside chair and began to read his newspaper. Minutes later, he was startled by a thudding sound. Then another. And then another, sort of a thump or a thud. At first, he thought someone must be throwing snowballs against his living room window, but when he went to the front door to investigate, he found a flock of birds huddled miserably in the snow. They'd been caught in the storm, and in a desperate search for shelter, had tried to fly through his large landscape window. But he couldn't let the poor creatures lie there and freeze, so he remembered the barn where his children stabled their pony. That would provide a warm shelter if he could direct the birds to it. Quickly, he put on a coat, galoshes, tramped through the deepening snow to the barn. He opened the doors wide and turned on a light. But the birds did not come in. He figured food would entice them in. So he hurried back to the house, fetched breadcrumbs, sprinkled them on the snow, making a trail to the yellow-lighted, wide-open doorway of the stable. But to his dismay, the birds ignored the breadcrumbs and continued to flop around helplessly in the snow. He tried catching them. He tried shooing them into the barn by walking around them, waving his arms. Instead, they scattered in every direction except in the warm-lighted barn. And then he realized that they were afraid of him. To them, he reasoned, I am a strange and terrifying creature. If only I could think of some way to let them know that they can trust me. That I'm not trying to hurt them, to help them. But how? Because any move he made tended to frighten them, confuse them. They just would not follow. They would not be led or shooed because they feared him. If only I could be a bird, he thought with himself, and mingle with them and speak their language. Then I could tell them not to be afraid. Then I could show them the way to the safe, warm... to the safe, warm barn, but... I would have to be one of them so they couldn't see and hear and understand. At that moment, the church bells began to ring. The sound reached his ears above the sounds of the wind, and he stood there listening to the bells, the Deste Fideris, listening to the bells, pealing the glad tidings of Christmas. And he sank to his knees in the snow.
For years, apparently, Paul Harvey would run that as his Christmas Day radio spot. How do you explain God becoming human? How do we really fathom that? The New Testament has a number of accounts. We read the gospel accounts, and we'll read a bit of that again this morning. I read the Philippians account in prayer. There's another one in Hebrews chapter 1. The opening verses of that book, the writer to Hebrews puts it this way. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets, at many times and in various ways, but these last days, He spoke to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. And after He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. God, fully God, the exact representation, the radiance of God's glory, became human, accomplished His task by providing purification for sins, and then returned to glory, to the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. That's the incredible wonder of the Christian faith. What do we do with that? What do you do with that truth? Allow me to read a portion of Luke's account of Jesus coming to humanity. And we'll take a look at Mary at the end with what she did with this. We'll pick up Luke's account in verse 9 of chapter 2. This is right after, you know, the birth itself, it says. And there were angels living out in the fields nearby, watching over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into the heavens, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen Him, they spread word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said about them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I want us to focus for a few moments on Mary's response. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Maybe it's just me, but I love that thought, that Mary pondered these things. I looked up the word and it means to think about something carefully, especially before making a decision or reaching a conclusion. It's to think deeply upon or about something. You know, some things in life are momentary. They don't require deep thought. Do I want a frittata or an omelet this morning? You know, I mean, really. Take a few moments, make your decision, and grab a bagel, you know, whatever. But there are other things that really call us to consider. Career choices. People we may choose for a spouse and the decision to marry. I mean, that's not omelet or frittata. And the incarnation. Do we spend time mulling it over? Thinking about, you know, what the Bible says there? Do we ponder it? Do we consider its implications? I mean, if God really became a human being, that changes the game. If you really believe that Jesus pre-existed from all time, and in that moment, at the fullness of time, became a human being, spent 9 months in gestation, and then was born. If you really believe that, it's going to impact who we are and how we live. And Mary spent time thinking about, pondering these things. And for her, you know, it went back to that angel coming into her room. We race through this time of year, you know. If we live life at 100 miles an hour, it seems to become 150. A million things to do. Do we ever grab some space just to ponder, just to think about? As I was reflecting on that word, a hymn of the church came to mind. It's one I remember singing when I was a kid. It's not a biggie. It's one we sing here. It's called Praise to the Lord the Almighty. The first stanza goes like this. Praise to the Lord the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise Him, for He is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to the temple draw near. Praise Him in glad adoration. Stanza 3. Praise to the Lord who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely His goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do if with His love He befriend thee. Ponder anew. It's worth it as the calendar goes around and we celebrate Christmas again to ponder anew. Let it be fresh. Because it's an amazing story that truly never gets old. But Mary didn't simply ponder or only ponder it. It says she treasured up these things and pondered them. Now, I can ponder different things, that which I don't agree with. I can think about it, and I can fill my mind with thoughts about how I disagree, why I disagree, how I'm going to argue against it when I see that friend who's going to, we're going to get in that discussion again. And I can go at it from that negative point of view. How can I prove it not to be true? But see, that wasn't Mary's tact here. Mary's tact was to treasure it as she pondered it. It was a gift. It was wonderful. It was overbearing and all-encompassing. And as she treasured it, she pondered it. Will you ponder the story of Jesus as if it is that incredible gift of gold given to you? Will you hold it dear? That's what it means. You know, when we treasure something like that, we hold it dear. We give it value and worth. I think of Mary. You know, this account comes after the birth. So an angel told her she's going to get pregnant by God. She gets pregnant by God. She lives for 9 months, during which time she's got to explain to her husband, "Hey, this is a little awkward, but I didn't do anything wrong here." She gets to that day of birth, and all this stuff happens. Maybe the child at first was laying on her chest before she laid him in that manger. And then these shepherds show up with this story about what God was doing in the heavens. And maybe, just maybe, she picked that little one up again. And she held him in her arms or laid him on her chest as she began to treasure all the stuff and ponder it. That's kind of God's message. That's the way we're to treat it. That's an example for us of what we do with this story. We treasure it. We hold it dear. We let it breathe life into our life. Will you take some time? Not just in these couple days before and after Christmas, but even as you walk around the year. It's going to be 2015 soon. And as you walk through that year, will you take time to ponder, to treasure the incredible faith that God has given? And then there comes that point where, after pondering, after thinking, after treasuring, we need to act accordingly. Just think about Mary for a moment. She had to parent that child. So she raised it from infant through the twos and the teens till he became a man. Somewhere in that period of life, her husband dies. We don't know when, but he doesn't show up at the end. He disappears from the scene. So she's a single parent. She spent time and traveled to hear Jesus preach when he began his 3-year preaching ministry. She stood at the cross when he hung there, as bewildered as every one of his other followers. What's going on? She's named as one of the 120 who huddled together in that upper room after Jesus ascended for fear of the Jews. Remember, they got together to pray? Well, she's named there. And the inference is that she was part of that number that was there when Pentecost happens and the church explodes and a whole new era is ushered in. She reached her conclusions. She believed. Not just in the baby that laid on her chest that incredible night, but in Jesus as Savior, as Lord, as God, who died for the purification of our sins. She pondered, treasured, and acted accordingly. Joseph, we could read his story. He acted accordingly as well. When the angel speaks to him in a dream and says, "Hey, trust me, it's okay what happened to Mary," he did. He got up and he took her to be his wife. He canceled the divorce plans, called his lawyer and said, "Sorry, we're not going through with it." And he canceled them and he said, "Let's get married." Another time when he had a dream and it said, get out of town and get to Egypt. He didn't waste time. He saddled his family and they began to book. He acted accordingly. Think of the Magi in the story. Now these fellows, and we don't know a lot about them, they're kind of mysterious people, but clearly they were sky watchers. They pondered the creation, and Romans says that God makes himself known through creation, doesn't it? And they pondered creation deeply, and then all of a sudden this cosmic event happens. Scripture calls it a star. We don't really know what it was. I mean, and they said, God's doing something. And they followed that star from their homeland to Bethlehem. We can infer from the text that it took them about 2 years to get there. Probably about 2 years to get back home. So for at least 4 years, we don't know what they did after that. I mean, they worshipped him in the moment. So. Again, the thrust of the text is that their hearts were changed, but they acted according to what their ponderings brought them, and they found Jesus. We began by reading the writer of Hebrews. And he presses his people, as you continue reading his book, he presses his people to fix their thoughts on Jesus. Chapter 3, verse 1. Ponder, think about, with the intention of following, acting accordingly. He presses them in the next chapter, hold firmly to the faith we profess. Cling to it when life gets hard. When assaults come your way, when people say, you don't believe that stuff anymore, hold firmly to the faith. He says, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may find mercy and grace in our time of need. He said, don't stay at arm's length from God. Go to Him in the name of Jesus. Approach Him. Because His arms are open with grace and mercy, what we need in our times of need. We ponder, we treasure, so we can act accordingly. So I challenge you to ponder the incredible message of love, forgiveness, salvation, and calling that God has shared with us. Treasure it and act where it calls you to act. Go where your ponderings take you in faith. Take those steps of faith to direct your lives. Are you willing to grow, to change? Because of your actions, your faith-filled actions for Jesus in the weeks and months and years ahead. Ponder, treasure, act accordingly. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your plan of salvation, for your willingness to become one of us so that we could be rescued from our own sin, predicament, and problems. Lord, help us to take that into our lives deeply and to allow it to shape how we live, what we do, this and every day of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.